a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Talkie, talkie, talkie. No more talkie.
It can be a problem for all of us, for talk show hosts that have ADD and a two-hour show by themselves with their producer, Sean Mapes. It can happen to you in real life at the big board meeting, on a date, in the midst of a serious conversation with your significant other. Sometimes we just grab that foot and we shove it very deep into our mouths. Kind of gross. Never fun afterwards as you're trying to gag it up. And I gotta say, I can't remember someone in recent Houston sports memory that has put as much feet in his mouth as Dana Brown has since the Astros hired him this January. They got to send somebody to Dana Brown, and either he's got to have one of those media relations people by his side at all times, or a press secretary, or they have to tell him what Billy Madison told Veronica Vaughn while he was absolutely hammered and hallucinating penguins in the Adam Sandler movie, Billy Madison. What's the latest thing that he did? I'm not talking about saying we're going to get contracts done for Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman. They're going to retire here. I'm not talking about saying Kyle Tucker will be here for life. Not talking about that either. I am talking about his own take on a managerial search that he is supposedly in charge of. He spoke for 30 minutes yesterday at baseball's winter meetings and had this to say about the one in-house candidate, Joe Espada. Written by Chandler Rome. Espada has interviewed for the Astros opening, general manager Dana Brown said, but will not be permitted to speak with the Brewers or any other interested team until Houston makes its final choice. Said Brown, quote, "We hold the keys to permission. We have to go through this process before we can allow Joe to go interview. Because what if he goes there and gets the job? That's pulling from our guys. If we don't hire him and they're still looking for a manager and they request permission, he would definitely be a guy we would say, hey, yeah, you can talk to him." And here's the thing. Here's why it looks bad. Spot is not under contract. They don't have the ability to stop him from doing an interview. This past season was the final year of his contract. Said contract expired October 31st. Unless there's some clause in there that says he can't speak with other teams for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, some sort of non-compete, which I don't believe would exist in baseball given how powerful the Players Association is. And just given the existence of free agency for players, I would imagine it's the same for managers and coaches. You can't say that, Dana. And it's funny because it seems like Dana Brown does want to hire Joe Espada. Espada deserves it. He's been doing a heck of a job as a bench coach. He's run our spring training and done a lot of good things here. He's got a good relationship with the players. He's been, of course, a candidate outside of our organization. But he's also saying, I'm not going to let him interview with other teams, even though I don't have the power to do that. If you're Joe Espada and you hear that, that's annoying. Does that mean that you don't want to be the manager of the Houston Astros? Probably not. But if Dana Brown is supposedly the one pushing to hire Joe Espada, when you're speaking publicly, at least, because everyone misspeaks, maybe have the facts about this candidate's status on your mind. Maybe be aware of them. And it's weird, too, because as this press conference continued, it does make me wonder just how much insight any baseball reporter has into what the Astros are planning to do to hire the next manager after Dusty Baker. Because he praised Espada a lot in this little press conference he had, but he wouldn't go so far as to say he's the leading candidate. No, it wouldn't be fair to call him that. I don't want to put that on Joe, said Dana Brown. I really like Joe, but I don't think we're going to grade him on a curve just because we know him. I think that he's a legit candidate. I just can't say that he's the leading candidate. But he's a legit candidate. I think he deserves to be talked to. I think he's good. He even brought up Espada unprompted when just asked about this process, saying, quote, we're making progress and we feel like we're getting closer. We're not going to rush because we want to do a thorough process, but we're making progress. The only candidate we have within the organization is Joe Espada. Joe deserves it. He's worked his tail off. He's been in the organization for 6 years. He's got a really good background. He's run spring training. He's a really good candidate. And so he's the only guy we've interviewed in-house. He brought him up unprompted in that answer. So he keeps on talking up Espada, but he's also saying we're not going to let Espada interview with other teams, and he doesn't have the power to stop Espada from interviewing with other teams. Dana! You don't have to talk. Talkie, talkie, talkie. No more talkie. Put a muzzle on it. Think about what you say. This has been an all-year thing, and we'll play some of the highlights in a moment. But either he is one of these two things, and spin it for however you want. Either he's a mastermind of misleading people or just has zero poker face and no filter. And here's the latest tidbit from this same press conference from Dana Brown. Chandler Rome's got two headlines out of this. He doesn't know his spot is not under contract. Also, when asked about financial flexibility to make big moves, I don't think we have a ton. But I think the deal is this. I think Jim will do whatever it takes to win. And if it means that we have to spend a little more, he will do it. I think he's definitely shown faith in me to drive this thing. So if I go to him and say, hey, we have this potential scenario on the table. You can probably get this done. I need you to get this approved. I think we'll be able to do that. So we might be able to do things, but I don't think we have any money. That's not going to exactly help out your negotiating position with anybody that you're potentially trying to sign. Any agent worth their salt is going to look at that quote and say, like, oh, well, what's the point of even having a conversation with this team if they're not going to offer us what we're looking for? Let's go look at some of the other teams that actually might be willing to spend. I don't know, the Rangers or other teams like that. And I actually think Dana Brown is probably wrong about Jim Crane. I think Crane's going to be a little bit more open to going over the competitive balance tax. But I just wish Dana would stop talking. I'm not saying to shut up and run the Excel spreadsheet, shut up and watch the all 22 baseball edition of a batter at the plate.
Shut up and negotiate.
Yeah, Sean, that's it. Shut up and negotiate, Dana, because every single time he opens his mouth, he finds another foot to put in it, like he's Rex Ryan or whoever else likes feet. I don't understand the feet thing, by the way. Just a side tangent. I don't get that. They're gross. They got fungus on them. Ugh. How many people even wash their feet in the shower? People don't think about that enough.
So, for some people, the sneakier the better.
That is probably true, Sean, unfortunately. Hopefully you're not speaking from experience, but...
I'm not.
You're not? Okay, no. Good to know. We're learning new things about each other every single day. Here's the last funny quote from Dana Brown. Again, there's just so many. When he was asked about just the process of interviewing managers. I'm leading the charge on the interview, but of course, I want Jim Crane's blessing on it. But I'm leading the charge. I'll ask Bagwell some questions. And I'll also ask some of our front office people some questions, like my AGMs. Quite frankly, I'll ask friends in the game questions. People I know well, some ex-players, some ex-coaches. if I want to talk about some of the candidates. So he's going to ask everybody.
I'll ask you, Chandler Rome. I'll ask you about it.
I'll ask you, Sean Mapes. I'll ask you, Paul Gallant. And we're going to ask Brian McTaggart. And we're going to ask Allison Footer. And we're going to ask Adam Spillane. And we're going to ask, who else covers the Astros? Jason Bristol. And we're going to ask Jeremy Booth. I'm just listing random reporters in Houston. And then we're going to ask Randy McAvoy. And then we're going to ask Will, the guy at Fox. And then we're going to ask... He is Howard Dean. He is such a politician. He can't help himself. And he just puts his foot in his mouth. And it's funny to watch. But it does make you a little bit uninspired about him as the general manager of the team. No. Again, he might get the manager hire right. Or Jim Crane will get the manager hire right. And honestly, the more he talks, the more I'm like, you know what, Jim Crane? Maybe you take a little more power back. Maybe... just a little more power back. I'm also thinking to myself, remember James Click? He wasn't that bad. I actually liked hearing less from James Click. And I know a lot of people in media are like, we want these guys to talk. Do you? You're going to hear more highlights of Dana Brown's less than a year in charge of the Astros, overpromising, not delivering, being a politician. Next. And just because I do feel like we've gotten off on the wrong foot, for lack of a better term, to open up the show. It's a little negative. It's a little down. At the very least, the Astros aren't the Yankees. What a funny day for that team. The Bronx Bombers. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Veterans Day. It's Saturday, guys. And did you know that Pendleton Whiskey has a couple of options for you to honor Veterans Day thanks to their 2023 Military Edition. You can show support for military personnel with a bottle of it. It's finished with the glacier-fed waters of Mount Hood, smooth taste of fall fruits, a hint of spice. You can make some pretty sick cocktails with the Military Edition as well. How about the Pendleton Salute? It's a red, white, and blue cocktail. It's a twist on the classic Negroni. 1.5 ounce of the Pendleton Military Edition whiskey. 1 ounce of Campari. 1 ounce of vermouth. 3 blueberries. And there you go. There it is. Pendleton whiskey for more than a century, thanks to the Pendleton Roundup, has been a part of what it means to be a cowboy and honors the legacy of the American West, made with the finest northern grains, cut with Mount Hood Glacier Water, a whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us, a whiskey that celebrates veterans everywhere. Pendleton Whiskey, true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the only sports radio on FM in Houston. Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Some thoughts on Dana Brown, who believes he has the power to stop Joe Espada from interviewing for other manager positions, even though he's not under contract. And on top of that is saying, yeah, I don't think we have that much financial flexibility publicly. Some responses to that on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, twitch.tv/ESPN975. JG Ballin 5 says he doesn't know how long Dana Brown is going to last in Houston, and went further saying Jim needs to have Dana Brown neutered until they get a manager. Well, that seems extreme to neuter anybody in 2023, but I do think at the very least they need to give him some press coaching.
Isn't that basically what this managerial search is, though? It's like, yeah, Dana, you're leading the search, but run everything by me and Jeff Bagwell.
And then cool. Everybody you know.
Yes, and then some friends, neighbors.
I don't know about the neighbors.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't even know about the friends. I mean, I feel like it's only industry professionals.
Assistant GMs.
Generally, the
all
more,
9 of them.
The more people you ask, the more trouble you're going to give yourself. Don't ask that many people. You have to have some conviction here. you also should know whether or not your guy's under contract. Just a thought. Well,
I mean, Jim Crane's going to be the one that actually has to make the decision.
That's true, Sean. But
Dana Brown just gets to pretend like he's making the decision.
But it would be nice if he...
He's already been neutered. Professionally, he's been neutered.
But pretending that Joe Espada can't negotiate or do interviews with other team is just wrong. You can't pretend things when they're factually inaccurate and everybody knows about it. More comments. Hugh Dabb, twitch.tv/ESPN975 says, long live Dana Brown. Brown is at the very least better than Holgorsen. Not a great year for Dana's in the city of Houston. That is for sure. Waka Flocka Buck says, we effed up last offseason with no GM until February. No, it was January. And now we won't have a coach until December. I don't think it's a big deal who they hire as manager still. I really don't. I just think that Dana Brown needs to stop talking. This isn't even a criticism of Dana Brown's actual job that he's done. He hasn't really done anything of note to criticize other than he brought Justin Verlander back, and some people weren't big fans of that, but I actually thought it made sense given the issues with their pitching. But it's more, just stop talking, dude. Just stop talking. I'm giving you advice here. Advice that you could have come to me and asked for after you asked Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell about what you're allowed to do.
And random people at HEB.
Yeah.
And parking attendants.
Well, first, before that, how about he asks the parking attendants where we're at with the Astros paying for my deductible for the car that was assaulted in my parking lot because their parking lot attendant let too many people in.
You'll be going to arbitration, I feel like.
I definitely am going to be going to arbitration. But there actually has been some progress. I have some hope. Some hope. From the 281, let Espada interview. He hasn't gotten a job in the previous 7 shots. That's also a great point. It's more just saying that you're going to prevent him from interviewing with other teams when you can't.
Also, when he's interviewed like every offseason for the last like 10 offseasons.
Yeah.
Not actually 10 off.
But you don't do that. Now, Dana Brown, I'm not saying he's incapable of going up to the microphone saying, well, I mean, all those other interviews have gone so well, huh? Like, I'm not saying he would say that. He wouldn't. But I'm saying that, hey, you shouldn't say that we wouldn't let him interview with other teams before you even start the process of narrowing down who you want to hire as the next manager of the team. Because that would piss me off. That pisses any human being off. We're not going to let him interview. Why? Why? It's kind of messed up to not let him interview with other teams.
I know. That is one of the... It's one of the crazier rules in sports. Because it's not like... I get if you can't let him interview for a equal position. So if he wants to be the bench coach somewhere else, I get why you'd be like, no, he has a contract to be our bench coach. But if he's going to interview for a promotion, I feel like you should just let him interview. I don't know.
I do too, but I also feel like you shouldn't say that we have him under control when he's not under contract. That's really, it's ultimately as simple as that for me, Sean.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about like the actual actions.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
hey.
The business practices of MLB.
Well, if you're going to let him interview with other teams, then clearly you don't care that much.
Yeah, he's interviewed, again, for 7 different teams.
Want to go back through some of the Dana Brown classics. Remember at the trade deadline when he talked about Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez returning, being like a trade? That was fun.
It feels like a part of a trade because these guys have been out for so much of the season that it feels like we're acquiring 2 new players. So, and that's an impactful thing to this club and what they mean to this club.
I got to say, as far as politicians go, that is a great spin zone. If he could do more spin zone instead of just being wrong, that'd be great. Or saying that he has to run all decisions he makes by everybody else. Here he was at his introductory press conference saying, yeah, Altuve, Bregman, we want them to retire here.
That, hey, you know what? These guys should retire here. You know, they should be Houstons for life, man, because we think they value their abilities. We think Altuve has still got some gas in the tank, you know, and of course, you know, Bregman, he's still pretty good. So, we're trying to sustain the winning, and it's gonna tell guys we're gonna get done sooner, and then some guys we're gonna have to wait. But we are constantly in communication to try to make sure that we get these players secured.
And then we also had this from Dana Brown, August 9th, when asked about Kyle Tucker's future on the Astros flagship. Let me put it to you this way. Kyle Tucker will be a Houston Astro. We feel strongly about getting it done, and I feel he will be an Astro for the rest of his career. We'll get it done. Okay. A lot of promises. Not a great poker face. All the makings of a politician.
What happened to this organization, man?
I'm not there.
This guy's the general manager.
You had Jeff Luhnow before. Jeff Luhnow is one of the greatest sports executives
that
we've ever seen.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you're not going to be able to replace him with that. Like that's a unicorn. That's a once-in-a-lifetime guy. If Dana Brown didn't talk, by the way, none of us would have any questions about Dana Brown because we wouldn't know what he does.
Yeah, because he hasn't – like you said, by virtue of when he was hired, all he had to do was the trade deadline, and it was bring back Justin Verlander, which was good because he was basically the only good pitcher that they had the last – month of the season.
I hope there's no more scandals in the Astros organization because Dana Brown might just accidentally talk about it.
Yes, he 100% would. He would 100% be like,
well, that reminds me of our new
system.
We got this new sign stealing system, and you know, I think it's really helping out our batters.
Yeah,
you know,
this guy named Connor Stallions dropped off a manila envelope on my desk.
Oh man, if it's from Stallions, that's coming in boxes. That isn't coming in an envelope. So let's shift though, because I don't want to make it sound like I think the Astros are doomed. I just think Dana's funny and he needs to stop talking. The Yankees are a mess. So Aaron Boone's back. Brian Cashman is back. Did you see Brian Cashman getting into it with New York media? We'll play another clip by him in garbage time, but here he is being asked about young players. And look at these New York gumshoe reporters really muckraking it with the general manager of the New York Yankees somehow still.
So you're saying that we can't produce major...
I'm not saying you can't. I'm asking... You described it as indisputable. I'm asking you where... Like, the ultimately...
But the example you want to say right now is Volpe, I guess, and Cabrera. Those are the two, right?
Pereira.
Peraza.
Like, if they were performing, they would have kept getting more at-bats. They didn't perform, and they didn't.
But Peraza's not getting everyday reps. Right. He's got Glaber. He's got Volpe now. He's got LeMahieu. Prior to that was Donaldson. There was not a lane for him to even play. So I don't even know why you used Peraza.
Well, these are your young players.
I understand that, but he's got to have a spot to play for you to be able to use his name.
Well, if he would have hit, he would have played more. He didn't hit, so he didn't play more, right?
Well, where's he going to play?
Well, if he hit, he would have played.
Who would he, if he hit? Like, this is Abbott Costello. Uh-huh. If he hit, who's he taking out? LeMahieu at third? Nice is he reference. Taking out Volpe at short? Is he taking out Gleyber Torres, who was one of the best second basemen in the American League last year?
If you want to win, you're going to play the guys who are hitting. If he hit, he would have played, right?
I guess if he hit better than Volpe, he would have played shortstop, and he would have won the thing out of spring training. But Volpe won it out of spring training. I think it's a stupid discussion that we're having, personally.
Personally. I bet a lot of Astros reporters wish they could have had the same kind of exchange with Dusty Baker, but it never happened. Never happened quite like that. Stupid discussion that we're having. Look, Cashman, it's not working there, bro. And on top of that, you got the Steinbrenner in charge, Hal Steinbrenner, saying that the Yankees, who hit .227 with a .701 OPS last year, scoring the sixth fewest runs in baseball, he says, the owner of the Yankees, that the Yankees plan to bunt more this year. Even more, Hal Steinbrenner, right after the Rangers won the World Series by spending a bleep ton of money. $300 million is not a hard threshold any more than the last $293 million. But yes, I do believe a team shouldn't need a $300 million payroll. Nobody has that yet. The Rangers don't. The Astros didn't last year. What you need is a good mix of veteran players and, equally important, a good mix of young players. We're going to get a bit younger / cheaper. Man, what would his daddy think? What would George think about Hal and the way that he's talking about the Yankees? Yeah, like, we're not going to go over $300 million. George didn't give a bleep. George didn't seem to care about profits. George seemed to care about winning and winning and winning and also being a hard out to win at all times and perhaps driving a lot of the people that worked for him crazy. Kenny G has a thought on the Houston Astros at 713-780-3776. Kenny, what's up?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, why is Brad Ausmus in the conversation for coach for the Astros or manager? And why isn't anybody talking about Adolis Garcia on the Jews? That's a big story. And
well, where do you have the – hang on. Kenny, where are you getting Adolis Garcia on the Jews from other than pictures?
Everybody knows he's on the Jews. You see
from what? From what? Facebook?
Not Facebook. I don't have Facebook. Or still sports.
Okay. Like – That let's move on past the Adolis Garcia thing. Ausmus,
and why?
One question at a time.
Giving Michigan a pass. Okay, well, why is Michigan getting a pass from ESPN for stealing science, but the Astros didn't? I'll hang up and listen. Kenny G out.
He just said Kenny G out, didn't he? Okay, so first off, I'm trying to answer one question at a time. Ausmus, I don't get it either.
Yeah, former Astro, former manager.
Friends with Jeff Bagwell.
Boom. Got it.
That's why. Is it the end of the world if they hire him? I don't know. Some people argue that in L.A. with the Angels, it was a disaster and that he should never manage again after that happened. I don't know. I don't think that managers really have that much of an impact on a team. And that is a good question. You know? Talking about Michigan sign stealing. Was he asking why weren't they doing the same thing with the Houston Astros or something like that?
I don't know.
It's a version of whataboutism, but he didn't quite stick the landing on it. Yeah. We are of the belief on this show that like Michigan and the Patriots are our brothers in arms, and we will stand for those programs. What's wrong with a little cheating? What's wrong with that? What's wrong? Paul Gerlach Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Up next, could the Texans have a secret weapon back on the field Sunday in Cincinnati? Sure looking that way. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Everyone loves our chicken pot pie.
Chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
You see Derek Stingley's Instagram story? On his Instagram story. He posted a picture of himself in uniform, helmet on. Looks like he's out at practice. DeMeco Ryans was on the Texans flagship and asked about injured cornerback Derek Stingley. Quote, he's trending in the right direction. We expect him to be back at some point this season. Nice, DeMeco. Hey, Dana Brown. See what DeMeco Ryans did right there? Being vague and nonspecific and making no commitments is good. As opposed to saying, we're going to extend Altuve. We're going to extend Bregman. We're going to extend Kyle Tucker. We're going to extend Framber Valdez. While also saying, but Joe Spada can't interview with other teams even though he's no longer under contract, and also not saying, hey, I don't know how much financial flexibility we have, wrapping it all up by saying, yeah, I have the say, but I'll run it by Jim Crane and then by Jeff Bagwell. I think the less is more, in the words of Ranch Wilder, famous broadcaster from the Disney movie Angels in the Outfield. Less is more, Dana. Let's continue to go around the NFL. For all those who wanted Sauce Gardner over Derek Stingley, I would just like you to know that he's rather insufferable on social media and very sensitive to anybody who would question him as the best corner in the NFL, even though he's only been in the league for 1 year. He also had this to say when asked about the Jets' offensive struggles. You're either a part of the problem or a part of the solution. Me personally, I got to pride myself on being part of the solution. So he's saying he's playing well while the Jets offense is stinking it up. Huh. All right, Sauce.
For the record, I would still prefer Sauce Gardner over Derek Stingley.
Even with all the talky-talky-talky?
At least he plays. And when he plays, he's way better than Derek Stingley.
Sticking to the Jets. Robert Saleh said it's lazy to blame everything on Zach Wilson. They're not considering a quarterback change. And when asked about his play against the Chargers, he said, was it his best game? Obviously not. Was it his worst game? No.
Boom.
I love it.
How is part of your defense saying you guys are blaming him for how he played yesterday? He's played way worse than that before.
It's a good point, though. You could, I guess, turn that into an argument that he's improving.
God, but you also know, say it wasn't his best game.
Those crows just keep pecking at Robert Saleh's neck. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers is walking without a limp, and he keeps on saying just strange things about his return. After Monday night's loss to the Chargers, he told Chargers safety Derwin James that he could be a few weeks from returning. ESPN microphones picked that up. Rodgers, though, on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, said it'll be a few fortnights before he's back on the field. I don't know what a fortnight is.
2 weeks.
Okay, so we're talking at least a month. A few fortnights.
Like
that means
6 weeks.
It has to be at least 2 times 2 weeks.
Yes. And there's 9 games
left.
Why
is it called a fortnight?
It's super old timey thing.
Makes zero sense. It's 2 weeks. Fortnight. Night is 1 day. Anyway, I'm glad that language has progressed.
I'm glad a lot of things have progressed since like the dark ages, whenever the saying came around.
I just watched Kingdom of Heaven, the director's cut last night, and I too am glad that there's no such thing as leprosy anymore. Jeez. Yeah. Louise, not good. Guys, let's bring it back to the AFC South. First, Will Levis is officially the Titans' starting quarterback, as first reported for by, and I'm not even kidding, Jeremy Branham. Jeremy Branham had this first. Jeremy Branham and I are now Eskimo brothers when it comes to stumbling into information about the Titans benching a quarterback for somebody else and no one believing us when we were on it first. So
that's
shout out
very
to us.
Funny.
It's a very, I was texting with Jeremy about it last night. I was like, that is hilarious that we are in the same very strange world of breaking a Titans quarterback change. And everyone's like, nah, no way.
Also just being like, Houston sports talk radio host breaking Titans news.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's weird. For me, it was Jake Locker got benched for Zach Mettenberger. I have a friend who has a friend who had a friend. It was a very weird, but I trusted the information. I just wanted to find more and I never could confirm it. But Jer Bear, he got his information too. So Levis is the guy going forward. That's smart for Tennessee. Meanwhile, AFC South, more like AFC Smash Mouth. Did you know that the AFC South as a division has the second highest point differential in the whole league? Huh. Probably didn't think about that. AFC Whoa. South, maybe the second best division in the NFL to the AFC North. The North is crazy because the Ravens have like a plus 100 point differential, but also every single team in the North is above 500.
Yeah, they're all like, aren't they all like 2 games over? They're all like 5-3.
I think I think the Bengals and Browns are technically in last place and they're both 5-3.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the AFC South, second best division in the NFL. People don't want to talk about it. Speaking of the AFC South, Arthur Smith used to be offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans, and Sean Mapes and Texas fans are furious at Arthur Smith because Bijan Robinson hasn't been used very much. When speaking to reporters yesterday, Arthur Smith said, Robinson's impact away from the ball can open things up for the offense at times. You're shaking your head a little bit there, Sean.
Yeah, I also own Bijan Robinson in two different...
Whoa, you own him? Hang on, it's 2023. No one owns any
man. I'm a governor for Bijan Robinson.
That sounds worse somehow.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm a booster.
You're a booster for more Bijan Robinson usage because you have him on your fantasy team.
Yes, and listen, I'm not saying murder is wrong, all right? Never murder someone.
Okay.
But if I was alone in a room with Arthur Smith, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Whoa.
I'm not sure what I would
do.
This guy sucks. Arthur Smith sucks.
You must have Kyle Pitts and Drake London, too.
No.
Because the people bitching about Arthur Smith are all mad fantasy owners who aren't getting Kyle Pitts and Drake London stats.
He lost to Josh Dobbs, who didn't know the names of his teammates. He lost to a quarterback who did not know like how to snap the ball from the center, and he lost to them because he doesn't give his best players the ball.
No, this is the NFL. You don't get it.
He's going to get fired. He's going to get fired
losing
this dog-ass division.
You can't use Bijan Robinson if you're not contending. Come on. Come on.
You know Tyler Allgeier has 10 carries inside the 10-yard line?
Yeah, he should have more, honestly.
Well, Desmond Ridder has 5, and Bijan Robinson has 2, and Jonnu Smith has 1.
I think more Jonnu Smith carries. And Algier. I have them both on my fantasy team. So how about that, Sean?
Wow.
There's other players in the NFL. Did you know that?
Spread yeah, there's the worse world. One. There's ones that are worse than Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson. But this guy is going to get fired because he doesn't give him the ball.
You know who's going to get the ball again for the first time in a really long time?
No, who?
Martavis Bryant, back with the Cowboys.
Is he going to get the ball?
Well, he hasn't been in the NFL since 2018.
Okay.
And since being in the NFL in 2018, he's played for the Toronto Argonauts, the Edmonton Elks, the XFL's Vegas Vipers, the Beasts of fan-controlled football, and he also played for the Massachusetts Pirates of the Indoor Football League. He has been trying to get back in the game.
I feel like you could play for the Massachusetts Pirates of Indoor
Whoa,
Football
Whoa, don't put that on the Massachusetts Pirates. They might be the best football team in Massachusetts right now. What? I mean, you want to, while we're on the Patriots, Sean, the Patriots reportedly could replace Bill Belichick after their game in Germany on Sunday. And I'm not even that surprised by that possibility.
I'm surprised.
ESPN, it just said the Patriot fray.
That's good.
As a caption. And like, yeah, it's bad, dude.
That's a good one. Yeah, I think it's it would be ridiculous if they fired him mid-season. He would make it 1 week long or 2 weeks longer than Josh McDaniels made it in with the Raiders. That'd be
well, at least he outlasted McDaniels.
Just to get fired in the middle of a season as the greatest coach of all time. It's yeah. crazy.
Especially being fired in Germany.
Yeah.
I mean, his father was in the Naval Academy. I don't know if he served, you know, against the Germans in the Atlantic Ocean, but like, yeah, that would just be not a good place to go down. 9.2 million people woke up early to watch the Dolphins and Chiefs in Germany. That's a very high number. In fact, that's bigger than the World Series numbers. So there's that. And also, before that game between the Dolphins and Chiefs, Chiefs president Mark Donovan said this. This might be looked at as maybe arrogant. I like to look at it as ambitious. But we want to be the world's team. Are the Chiefs the world's team? Cowboys America's team, Patriots formerly God's team.
I just don't like having this kind of using this kind of verbiage when you're in Germany.
I don't either, Sean.
Yeah, I want to take over the world. Some people might call me ambitious.
I'd call it imperialist.
Yeah.
This is imperialist, globalist rhetoric from the Chiefs who must be stopped. That wraps up our NFL talk. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jimbo Fisher is getting at least one more year. Why? Great question. Stick around to find out what is being said about why he's getting another opportunity. You'll also hear from Jimbo Fisher speaking fast. We always enjoy that. You know what else I enjoy? Making you money with mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You sign up, you get a massive deposit bonus. And once you sign up, you can bet on whatever you want. The NFL, the NBA. Maybe you want to bet on tonight's basketball match. Did you see? Dylan Brooks had some things to say about LeBron James. Uh-oh. That doesn't really bode well. So maybe you want to bet on the Rockets against the Los Angeles Lakers tonight. The Lakers are 3-point favorites at Toyota Center. I got to say, I feel like LeBron's going to make a pointed effort to destroy Dylan Brooks tonight. Lakers are 3-point favorites. I am taking the Lakers. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 for a deposit match up to $1,000. Again, the promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Planet Unicorn, hey.
Planet Unicorn, Unicorn Planet.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So it seems Jimbo Fisher is going to get another year at Texas A&M. He's at the very least making a pitch for it. There's an article in the Houston Chronicle from Brent Zwerneman and Jimbo Fisher at his press conference on Monday. He tried to provide a defense for why he believes the Aggies are still capable of winning a national title. Obviously not this year, but under his watch. Here's old Jimbo.
Gives you the belief moving forward that you'll ultimately compete for titles?
Well, I mean, because I think we have the talent too, and I think the kids have the heart too. I mean, you saw in that game. I mean, there's no, whether we're 10 or 11, guys aren't backing off of it. I mean, they're still competing and being right there at one play. And as long as you're that close in that way, and they're looking in their eyes, you can get there. And we just got to keep coaching them and finding those positions and stay healthy at the right position and get the ball to the right guy at the right time, or get the right guy on defense free at the right time and make that play. You watch us play and how physical we play and how hard we play. I think there's – and our opponents, when they get done with the game, I mean, they're fortunate, and they'll tell you. I mean, they knew we had a good team, and it was played really well. We just got to find a way. And once you do it, I've been there, and you build slowly, and you've went down and build back up. Once you get over that hump and the guys can feel that, I think they'll take off, and I think we'll build it and do it.
And then a little bit later, you said, I've done this before. Okay. So in that article, the Aggies have gone a positively mediocre 18-15 in the three seasons since Jimbo's first year. But what separates Fisher from his predecessor, Kevin Sumlin, is Fisher continuing to recruit at a high level. Fisher's 2024 recruiting class is ranked ninth. 2022 was the number one class, and a lot of those guys are going to be either juniors and healthy. Connor Wigman, specifically, the five-star quarterback who's hurt right now. Said Fisher of his young players, sometimes it's like a young eagle on a cliff. Sometimes mama has just got to push them off the cliff, and you're scared if they can fly, but they take off. Actually said that. That's an actual quote from Jimbo Fisher. But seems like he's going to be around next year. The buyout's a big factor, I would say, more so than the fact that he's been recruiting well. But he has been recruiting well. And we'll see if it actually, I don't know, nets results soon. On the twitch.tv/ESPN975, Jimbo talks like a Southern meth addict. No, he just speaks fast. That's not nice.
He is from West Virginia.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying, he is from West Virginia. Just to add, you know, background to that.
West Virginia isn't the South.
No, it's Appalachia, which is worse.
Tennessee is where it's tricky because Tennessee is also a part of Appalachia.
That's where, like, they meet, I would say.
But they got the mountains. They're smoky, yes. Some say. Yeah.
Sure are smoky mountains. I will say, if I'm Texas A&M right now, I'm probably just rooting for him to get fired. I was going to say, okay, if you're taking him getting fired this offseason just completely off the table, what I would do is I would go into next season with Jimbo Fisher as the coach. Maybe hire, like, a fan favorite Aggie on, you know, to be running back coach.
Johnny Manziel?
Quarterback coach, whatever.
Yeah, Manziel.
Just a beloved Aggie. Doesn't matter how good of a player he is.
Okay, well, Manziel.
And then you just keep Jimbo Fisher for all of next year, because you're paying him no matter what. You're paying him his full contract, whether he coaches for you or doesn't. So just get some work out of him up until the last game of the season, which it's not official yet, but it's going to be against Texas on Thanksgiving. You just fire him the week before the Texas game, hire your beloved coach to be the interim. Ooh. Boom, you beat Texas.
Morale boost. Yeah.
You've seen it with the Raiders.
and the Colts.
We've seen it with Ed Ogeron. We've seen it Jeff so Saturday. Many times. Jeff Saturday last year won a game against the Raiders, actually.
Who's the most fan favorite possible Texas A&M Aggie? Because obviously Bobby Petrino is not an Aggie.
No, and probably not a fan favorite either.
I don't know. He should be.
I don't know. If you're an Aggie, text in 713-780-3776. Text or Twitch or tweet us. Beloved Aggie, you would love to be the interim coach after Jimbo Fisher gets fired.
And then he gets fired right before the Texas game. Yes, and this gets guy
fired.
Comes in.
I should say gets fired next year in the middle of the season right before the Texas game. So then they beat Texas.
How about you bring Jackie Sherrill back?
Is he alive?
I think he is.
Is he? That's my question. Alive. Is he alive?
I think he is.
Okay.
So there's that.
I was thinking Javorski Lane.
Oh.
I think it helps being big, too. Being like a big guy on the sideline.
Ryan Tannehill's not doing anything anymore.
Ryan Tannehill would... Actually, no, it'd be Ryan Swope. That's who would be the... Because you have to be like an Aggie. You know, like you can't... You know, Miles Garrett or whatever. It's like, yeah, we love him, but it has to be like a fan favorite.
Okay. So it's probably some just real... Scrap.
Maybe bonus points if they actually wore the number 12.
How about Dat Win?
Dat Win. That's probably a good one.
How about going a little further down this list of Aggies from back in the day?
Johnny Manziel isn't doing anything. Yeah, that's the problem.
He's not high up on that list. Who's that one guy? Jack Pardee. Oh, wait, no. Damn, my bad. Hey, Michigan football. They're a program. Michigan is doing some whataboutism, and I love it. Because, again, they're our brothers in arms, and we did this, too. We did this, too. Did we not? Oh, the Yankees, the Dodgers. Via ESPN, Michigan believes three other schools shared intelligence about the Wolverine signals during the 2022 season. They've sent documents to the Big Ten supposedly proving this. They think Ohio State gave Michigan's offensive signals and Rutgers gave Michigan's defensive signals to Purdue last year prior to the Big Ten championship game. Gasp. Is nothing sacred anymore?
By the way, Josh Beard texted me saying AC Law.
Bucky Richardson.
Bucky Richardson. That's a good
one. That was the one I was trying to think of, and I couldn't think of any. And I just went down this list, and I was like, oh, sorry. He's R.I.P. He's passed away. But, yeah, man, Michigan is having their signs stolen, too. Everyone's signs get stolen. Everyone. Okay? Let's have some empathy here.
It is so funny that there's such an easy fix to this in college football. Until I imagine the rule gets changed this year to put radios in people's helmets like the NFL does. But... just like the idea that they just like didn't do that until now. Like they need this to happen. They need everyone to steal everyone else's signs before they're like, you know what? Let's actually just put radios in the helmets. Spend the like however much it could possibly cost to put in three helmets.
Dumb that there's no radios in helmets. The NFL's had this since I was born. Like we're talking 91. I was 2. It's crazy. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll read some of your potential Aggie legend coaches to hire right before the Texas game, which is when Jimbo Fisher's getting fired next year. What a very, you know, it just rolls off the tongue. Also, all right, the Texans are playing the Bengals on Sunday. We should have measured expectations for that game. What is the bare minimum we're looking for in a game that we're not convinced the Texans are going to win? We'll discuss next. It's the Paul Galancho. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
He can't keep getting away with it.